Good evening, welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Dancing in the Snow with Jake and Mr. Skullhead. Snow dancing, apparently, that's... You know, the first time I just cleared my mind and let something come to me, it was lesbian dildos, but apparently for the live show, Dancing in the Snow. Thanks.
Yeah, that's gay in a different way.
Yeah.
It's not snowing where you are, is it?
No, not a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Isn't it still, like, kind of warm?
It's really nice, like, you know, 57, 60 bucks, maybe.
Keeps oscillating between bright sunlight and crazy, crazy thunderstorm here. There's a bunch of tiny thunderstorms passing over, hanging out, moistening my lawns.
Little rain clouds hanging above your head.
Yep. What have you been up to, Mr. Skullhead?
I think we could probably just copy and paste my what I'd been up to for the previous week, I think. On Sunday, we went to the Renaissance Festival again, and I've been...
Do you get in for free, at least?
Yeah. I wouldn't be going more than once a year if I didn't get in for free, even though all of my friends are there.
Yeah, I was going to say, because if all of your friends paid 40 bucks to jump off a bridge, would you do it?
Right. No, I tend to spend about 40 bucks a visit, but that's just on food and mead and whatnot.
Do you actually like mead?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know how to respond to that. I never was good at talking to girls.
You could say, I concur that mead is delicious.
Oh, okay, yeah. I concur that mead is delicious.
I concur less.
We have some mead that the animator's wife, which is like the astronaut's wife, only something that I know about.
Right.
It's like the time traveler's wife, which, you know, is also something I don't know about. Are there any movies that's like, it's like the cook, the thief, his wife, and her lover?
Yeah.
Anyway, they made some mead that they were pretty sure got tainted by him dipping his hand into the bucket early in the process. And so it got some Latin name that means poisoned hand. Yeah, but I don't know if it's any good because it's mead, and I can't tell if mead is any good or not. I had some mead at the Renaissance Festival, and what I was hoping was that they would, like, have a barrel, and they would pull a cork out of the barrel, and some mead would flow into a tankard that they would then hand to me. But what they did was they pulled a bottle of mass-produced mead out from under a counter, and then they poured it into a tiny plastic cup and handed it to me. And this was, like, the first thing I did at the Renaissance Festival. I was, the first time I ever went, I was like, you know what? I want to have this fucking experience. I'm going to go and I'm going to get some mead. And then that was what they did. And I was like, God damn it. This Renaissance Festival is bullshit.
Yeah, at least at ours, the mead is in casks. It does go into plastic cups. I mean, if you have your leather mug or wooden mug that you've bought at one of the vendors, they'll happily fill that up for you.
Oh, will they?
Yeah. I mean, they'll charge you two or three times what they would charge to fill the plastic cup, but they'll give you two or three times as much stuff, so, yeah.
Yeah, they only gave me, like, an ounce of mead, or maybe 2 ounces of mead, or perhaps three.
I would say we had it was a good, like, 8 ounces, maybe.
It's very sweet.
It's good stuff.
It reminds me of white wine, and I don't care for white wine.
That should be your new, like... Very understated burn for people. You remind me of white wine. And I don't care for white wine.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a pretty pretty fancy way of insulting someone.
Yeah, it's very New Yorker. Kind of Christ, what an asshole. Thing. Yeah.
I guess I'm glad that that's a thing. It was kind of funny. It didn't strike me as funny enough for all the attention that it was getting. But, you know.
I thought that it was funnier when applied to Family Circus.
Uh-huh.
That seemed to work pretty well.
Garfield without Christ, what an asshole.
Christ without his asshole.
I've almost decided that I don't like anything that references the Family Circus. Because it's just, it's too easy a target, you know?
It is kind of like clown shoes.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny like a kumquat is funny.
Or
because it has a Q in it. I think the word kumquat is funny because it has a Q in it and the word cum.
I think so.
I remember the first time I ate a kumquat. I didn't know whether you peeled it or not. So I just ate the whole thing, skin and all, and it was gross.
I think I peeled it and it was still gross.
Huh.
It's like, dude, we gotta try this. It's kumquat. It's the funniest name in the world. And
I think it is safe to say that almost everything that comes out of the ground is gross. That we've been real lucky to have been born in an age where we've had, you know, thousands of years of civilization so that people could figure out which things don't taste awful.
Right.
And also which things won't kill you.
I think with the kumquats, you're supposed to make jam out of them. Like, anything that you do with kumquats that involves eating them later tends to involve, like, massive amounts of sugar.
I see. So, I mean, kumquats are like the tofu of citrus.
Right. Wait. I don't think I'd like sugar in my tofu.
I mean, why not? Why wouldn't a sweet tofu thing be good?
I mean,
you can make ice cream out of soy milk, and tofu is just made of soy, right?
Right. I don't make ice cream out of soy milk because I don't like soy milk.
I mean, I would never buy soy milk because it's fucking gross and it's not milk.
Right.
There was some coconut milk that had been... We cleaned out the refrigerator at the office last week, and boy, oh boy, is there always stuff that's still there from the last time we cleaned out the refrigerator. But there was a can of coconut milk that had been sitting open and half full for so long that it had turned into coconut cheese. It hadn't really. Because I don't think that's a real thing. I wonder what would happen if you tried to make cheese out of coconut milk. How do you make cheese? Do you, like, churn? Does stuff turn into butter and then cheese?
I don't think so. You need some rennet.
Okay, so you put rennet in something and then you put it in a cheese cloth to get rid of the moisture?
Right, and then you do a couple of cheese curls, I think.
Right, that's so that you can be stronger, so that when the cheese solidifies and becomes heavier, you'll be able to lift it.
Right.
And to pass the time, you can, say, open the front cover of the phone book and make some cheese doodles.
Right. Or if you get really bored...
And if you don't want to do it yourself, you can hire a couple of Japanese people, referred to in this case as cheese nips, to do it for you.
Cheese nips. I was going to say, if you get bored and horny, you could engage in a little cheese dick.
What's cheese dick? I don't think I've ever heard that phrase.
Insult.
Huh.
Like douchebag, asshole, cheese dick. Dark.
But douchebag and asshole mean things. Does cheese? Are you implying that they have sex with cheese? Holes in a Swiss cheese? Or that they are possessed of some condition that only occurs in textbooks?
Yeah, I think it's implying a lack of penile hygiene.
I see. Is that a thing that you only have to do if you're uncircumcised? Because I feel like I am a downright unhygienic dude, and I've never encountered anything like that, ever.
No, it's cleaning out underneath your foreskin, so... I've never cleaned underneath my foreskin because I don't want to make the trip to the hospital and see if they still have it.
Yeah, it's probably shrunk down to pretty small now, so cleaning under it would just be like wiping your thumb across it. That's really the only kind of cleaning I do to anything, including my body. If I can't clean it by wiping my thumb across it, it's just going to stay dirty.
Hmm. How clean is your thumb as a general rule?
Not very, which is why I should almost not even bother with that. You know what? You've convinced me. I'm not even going to make that cursory effort to clean anything ever again.
Well, since you appear to have some kind of, like, I don't know, nanoparticle coating that keeps you just from getting dirty at all,
mm-hmm.
You probably don't have to. Yeah, I'm serious. Like, if I don't shower for a day, I'm kind of a greasy, disgusting thing that doesn't even want to touch himself. But you get like a week without showering, and you're just...
Yeah, no, I've never been at a point where I didn't want to touch myself. Not even for a moment.
Right, right.
That's why I like to do our staff meetings on the phone, because in person they're just a little weird. We volunteer for a good old Pez Boy at the Oktoberfest every year. Did you ever do that when you lived here?
No, one of those things that, like,
beer.
The day afterwards you would say, hey... Did you have fun at Oktoberfest? I was like, yeah, you did it to me again.
No, I didn't do it to you, man. I didn't even know about it this year. Hot Stuff was like, all right, we gotta go. I'm like, where are we going? It's like, volunteering at Oktoberfest. for the fifth year in a row. You should have known about this already. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I think he just puts our names down on the list without telling us anymore. There were three times as many people as there needed to be in the beer booth, and there were probably three times as many beer booths as there needed to be. There was almost no traffic. It was really boring, and we went home early.
That's weird.
Yep. It's, you know, I wouldn't say it's fun, but I have so few opportunities afforded to me in life these days to just do a bunch of work that you don't really have to think about, you know? And so just sitting there, pouring beer after beer. It's meditative, but not if you have to just, it's like sitting there staring off into space for 20 minutes and then pouring a beer. That sucks. That's no fun at all. I went up to an information booth and said, hey, is that guy selling cigars here again this year? And she said, you mean that guy? And pointed like 5 feet from me where the guy was.
Did you at least say, no, not that guy. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, that's what I should have said. But I wasn't thinking. I was like, oh, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to sheepishly grin and scuttle off into the giant cigar truck. It's actually kind of a small cigar trailer. Totally wasn't the same guy. So I could have gotten away with it, been accurate, not just trying to cover for my retardity. Then I worked all day Saturday. I like to run my weekend backwards.
That makes sense.
Well, you know what I've been playing a lot of is Twilight Heroes, because that's fun. That's what I've been playing a lot of.
Yeah.
Nobody else ever messed with it, so I can't talk to anyone about it. So, did you do anything exciting at the Renaissance Festival this year? This day? This weekend?
This epic. You know, I watched the people with their fire juggling, and that just never gets old. It's weird to me to think of, like, the woman who's doing a thing with a hula hoop that has 5 lit torches on it and is just going crazy with this, like, belly dancing with a hula hoop and stuff that, how is this possible? This is somebody who probably works in an office, you know, 5 days out of the week, and many of her coworkers probably walk by her and, you know, people see her walking down the street and they don't know that she has this talent.
The first time I ever saw anybody, like, with fire poi, it was, like, a couple of topless ladies as part of this big show that we went and saw. Mm. And so nothing is ever gonna recreate that magic again.
That is kind of, like, I've seen so many people, like, blow fire and eat fire and spend poi that just the fact that somebody's doing it isn't impressive anymore. Like, when we were in Jamaica, the big deal at the end of the evening, after the guy who balanced an entire bicycle on his face was the guy who just kind of blew fire and spun poi, and everybody else was really into it, and like, yeah, you know, I don't want to be a douchebag or anything here, but I have seen that done just as well, if not better, for free.
I mean, I don't want to be a douchebag, but I am.
Yeah, I don't want to be fat either, but see, yeah, that's working.
I don't want to be that guy. I always forget that you've been to Jamaica. Is Jamaica the one that's going to vanish?
Yeah, they probably
are. Bahamas. It's the Bahamas that will disappear, right? When there's some crazy shelf volcano off the coast of Africa.
I would never buy a volcano right off the shelf. I really think you need to customize your options.
Yeah, you want to get one on eBay because it's like half as much, and it probably won't be all that used. And even if it is, how can you tell? I mean, volcano's pretty beat up to begin with.
There are a lot of virgin corpses at the bottom of here, yeah.
Yeah, I guess if that's your thing.
This is a used charred volcano.
Charred virgin skeletons. How can you tell? How can you tell if a skeleton is a virgin? I think you can't.
You got to assume that they wouldn't have thrown the person in there if they weren't a virgin.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there was just somebody you didn't like, and so you would, like, start a rumor that they were a virgin.
Right. Guess that would be hard to disprove without having sex with somebody in front of the entire village. And at that point, the village is probably going to stone you for fornication anyway.
I mean, it takes a village to stone you for fornication.
I'm guessing that if you're in the kind of society that's still throwing people in volcanoes, you're not so big on, sexual liberation?
I feel the opposite. Like, I feel like the more primitive you are, probably the less weirded out you are by having sex.
Hmm.
I mean, isn't that a big thing among missionaries, like going into tribes and it's like, hey, you guys should stop fucking in front of each other.
Yeah, and putting some clothes on, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think seeing some boobs wouldn't freak you out. And I mean, I feel like, where do you go to have sex if you're in a tiny village with no walls or roofs?
Well, presumably,
I don't know. I don't know how you make a village with no walls or roofs. This,
that's
this
just a bunch of people
we painted on the tarmac
around.
Of the airport.
At that point, it's just a gathering thing.
A bunch of people standing around. I mean, I guess there could be hearths.
Hmm.
They gather around my freestanding stove. This was invented by Benjamin Franklin. What kind of stove did Benjamin Franklin actually invent?
The Franklin stove?
Oh, is that a real thing?
Maybe.
What's a Franklin stove? You don't know. You just made that up to make me sound stupid, and now you're going to look it up on Wikipedia so that you'll be able to pretend that you knew what you were talking about.
I was right, but not on purpose.
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin invented all kinds of shit.
Seems like
he was a smart guy. And I guess he fucked a lot of ladies.
I heard that he invented bifocals, and I assume that was the first thing that he invented so he could see to invent the rest of the shit that he invented.
Well, it depends on how young he was when he invented the rest of stuff. I feel like bifocals are an old man's game. It's not like poetry. You start with poetry, and then bifocals. He did write that early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And like I said, I heard he banged a lot of ladies, so that's probably why he wanted to go to bed early.
Yeah, he noticed he didn't say early to sleep.
That's true. Oh. So I've embarked on this project that I'm documenting on my personal Twitter account, which no one knows about. I made this Twitter account so that I could play Echo Bazaar and use a Twitter account that it wouldn't annoy anybody for me to do all the obnoxious bullshit that Echo Bazaar made you do with your Twitter.
Right.
I found out you can delete Twitter posts, apparently, months after the fact. So I did that. But I decided that in the month of October, I'm going to get rid of 500 pounds of stuff. Hmm. And my rules are it has to be something that I've had for a year, and it has to be something that I would take with me if I moved. So I can't, like, you know, throw away 500 pounds of dirt from my yard or whatever.
Right.
Because I've been moving, you know, like... I've moved fairly frequently. It's been a few years since I moved all my stuff. And I wouldn't say I moved it so much as the Mexicans that I hired to move my stuff moved it. But I've been carrying around for a very long time a lot of stuff which is basically...
You just dropped off...
Or I've gotten rid of some books that I've had multiple copies of, clothes that I will never wear again, that kind of thing. What I realized, though, is that once I've gotten rid of 500 pounds of stuff, there will be room for 500 pounds of ladies in my house again. And I'm thinking that I could either get 4 ladies or 1 real good lady.
Hmm. I think you could still be in the bounds of health and good taste with as many as 5.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily, right? Like a 499-pound lady and a aborted fetus.
Right.
That would not be within the bounds of health or good taste. Wait, but that also wouldn't be 5 women. I'm sorry. A 499-pound woman and 4 aborted fetuses.
Right, right. Okay, what's 500 divided by 4? You know, I've seen healthy adult women that weigh less than 100 pounds, so...
Yeah, so have I. Yeah, I know, and that sometimes they're even fun to look at. I don't actually want to. I'd be missing the point if I got rid of 500 pounds of stuff and then replaced it with 500 pounds of, you know, baggage I'd have to carry around for the next several years.
Oh.
Had to work the misogyny in there some way.
Hopefully, they would just spend 500 pounds of your money.
Oh yeah.
You'd have to keep.
I got some. What?
You'd have to convert all of your money to British currency, though.
That's true. Or, I did that thing where you can buy those dollar coins from the mint, just dollar for dollar with free shipping,
right.
So that I could start spending dollar coins to get coffee in the morning, so that I can, Mr. Skullhead, I've made my morning commute so much more efficient, I don't even have to pull my wallet out when I get coffee.
Oh, yeah?
Just got a stack of coins that I pay for my coffee with.
Right there
in your car. And that's efficiency, buddy. You know what else would be efficient is just making coffee at home.
And I'm just cracking open a diet soda.
Yeah. I used to be a big fan of the, like, Coke and a cigarette for breakfast every morning. But I don't know. I can't even do with soda first thing in the morning anymore. Even on the days when I afford myself the luxury of soda, I still start with coffee. It's just good. It's just the right thing to do. Coffee is so obviously the right thing to do first thing in the morning. It wouldn't be so delicious, and it wouldn't be so refreshing if it weren't what Jesus wanted us to do with the first few minutes of our day.
But it's neither of those things, the thing. You either drink the coffee black, and it replaces the taste in your mouth as you get up in the morning with something worse. Or you put cream and sugar in it, and then it coats your teeth in a thick sweater, which makes you have to brush them immediately when you're done.
You don't put cream and sugar in it. That's blasphemous. And the taste of coffee is pretty close to the taste of deliciousness, if not precisely the taste of deliciousness.
Okay, but like 3 minutes after the coffee is finished, how does your mouth taste?
Good.
Like
delicious.
Like you licked a nun's asshole.
I've never licked a nun's asshole, but if I did and it tasted like coffee, I would be glad to have done it. I would be glad to have performed that service for the Lord.
Not talking about the taste of coffee. I'm talking about what coffee makes your mouth taste like afterwards.
I've never noticed anything.
It's disgusting.
What's weird is that if you lick a priest's asshole, it tastes like tea.
Interesting.
The aftertaste is like tea.
Shut up, brain.
Communion wafers. Did you just tell me to shut up?
No, I said shut up my brain because it said if you lick a little boy's asshole, it tastes like a priest.
Oh!
He's like, God damn it.
Little boy. Yeah, that's a me kind of joke, not a you kind of joke. What's the matter with you, buddy? You've been drinking my Kool-Aid.
Or
my milkshake. So yeah, the 500 pounds of stuff project is going alarmingly easily so far.
What all of you have thrown out?
Ambitious enough. Just books and clothes so far is it. And I hate getting rid of stuff, but I like documenting things. And so I feel like I can sort of head my pack rat OCD off at the pass with my record keeping OCD by indulging that.
Now how have you are you throwing these things away or are you taking them to...
I've thrown almost nothing away. I've thrown away, like, pants that I think the Salvation Army wouldn't take.
Right.
You know, like a jeans that I wore until the bottom cuffs were just ragged. I don't even know if a cuff is a thing that's on jeans. And why would I keep those, you know? Never gonna wear them again. Because, A, they're for fat dudes. You know what's cool is being able to get rid of a bunch of clothes that are too big for me. That's the opposite of why I have all the clothes in the first place.
You are half the man you used to be.
But no, mostly I'm going to drop them off at Goodwill and try and get a tax write-off. I took a set of books to the used bookstore thinking I would, you know, turn them in for credit and like that they were actually like good stuff, right? Stuff that they would definitely sell there. And they wouldn't take any of them except for the old, I took in the individual trade paperbacks of The Sandman,
uh-huh.
You know, that I just have no need for with the giant collector's series, and that was the only thing that they were interested in.
Huh.
Like, you'd think that a used bookstore would buy, like, you know, some Stephen King books, but they were just like, no.
They always have just buckets of those, though.
I guess that's probably true. But yeah, anyway, I was disappointed in that, but I walked away with my $8, and I was pretty happy.
Kind of the same thing, like, occasionally in my college or slightly post-college days, I would get hard enough up on money that I would try and trade some CDs in, or I wanted to buy a CD and didn't have the money, but it was always just kind of a humiliating experience, because the ones that I wanted to get rid of, not only did they not want, they wanted to kind of make fun of me for. So even if it wasn't, like, your old pretentious record shop, you know, you hand them Meatloaf's follow-up to Bat Out of Hell 2, and they just kind of sniff at you. You know, we certainly won't be taking that. It's like, motherfucker, I've seen the crap that you have in this store.
Man, remember where we grew up, that Hastings, you could just return almost anything?
Yeah, it took them a while to figure out the whole ripping and burning process?
Oh, I never did that. I would occasionally return CDs that I had gotten for free from BMG or whatever. It was a much more efficient way of selling CDs.
I don't think so. My Hastings memory with you is buying that Vanilla Ice CD for 25 cents and throwing it around in the parking lot. Because I was all, I'll pretend that I don't like this Vanilla Ice CD, so Jack will think I'm cool.
And we... Why would that make me think you were cool? I like white rappers from the 80s. Was he in the 80s?
90s.
Huh. Gotta be, like, very early 90s, though, right?
Yeah, in my junior high school yearbook, which was 91.
Were you wearing a Vanilla Ice shirt?
No, but there's a list of, like, our favorite things and the favorite song of my class. There was, like, Ice Ice Baby and, like, Every Rose Has Its Thorn or something.
Yeah, that seems like it was everybody's favorite song when it existed. You know, it seems like it would have come a little later to where I was, because I lived in the Midwest. No, August of 1990.
Hmm.
So, the songs might have been out on the radio before that, though.
And Vanilla Ice, MC Hammer, and Poison were the big things.
Vanilla Ice is the only person who knows what it's like having a Roni.
That's true, because the rest of us don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yep.
And then,
yeah, that was 1990.
Flood came out in 1990.
Cool.
But like so many kids, I didn't know that until Animania or Tiny Toons did their They Might Be Giants show. And then I became...
Is that how you discovered They Might Be Giants?
Yep. I became one of those Johnny's Come Lately that everybody on Usenet hated. It's like, oh yeah, you probably saw the videos on Tiny Toons. They didn't even like those videos. You're not a real fan unless you got to know them with their first single.
Yep, that sounds like assholes on the internet.
Well, then I got to be one because it switched to... Yeah, I heard their Malcolm in the Middle theme song and got into They Might Be Giants, and I was like, oh, please.
Wait, you were reading Usenet after that?
No, just the internet.
Mm.
Internet.
You know, Usenet was good, and Usenet would still work for so much shit on the internet, but nobody wants to use Usenet.
Hmm. It's a used net.
Just like nobody wants to play Sega with Harrison Ford.
Sad, really.
I remember being really angry when I started seeing web-based message boards that were just shitty compared to Usenet.
Hmm.
I mean, web forums or whatever, it still bothers me a little bit that you have to, you know, if I want to participate in a community, I have to create an account, right? And I don't want to use the same password that I use anywhere else because that's insecure, right? And, you know, we saw that like, our forums got hacked a few years ago and people got into some other people's shit because they were using the same password for a bunch of stuff. And that sucks, right? Like, that one was kind of our fault for having out-of-date forum software, but it was, like, not, you know, that kind of shit is going to happen. But then what'll end up happening is it'll be like, all right, well, I know I have an account. Basically, every time I use a website that I haven't used in 6 months, I have to go through whatever their password recovery process is.
Right.
And that drives me fucking crazy. You know, those processes are as friendly as they can be and still be secure, but it's like, I don't know, maybe I need one of those systems. I need, like, a system for coming up with passwords that I'll be able to, like, reconstruct what my password would be.
Hmm.
I guess there are systems like that. But I wouldn't want it to be a system that if somebody got the plain text of that password, that they'd be able to, you know, they'd be able to figure out what my system was.
Hmm.
So I guess I'll just keep making up new passwords and keep forgetting them. Every time I order a pizza, I have to go through this password reset process.
Right.
On PapaJohns.com. Or either that or I instinctively don't let my browser remember the passwords to things. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's what normal people do.
Yeah, I tend to just let the browser store just about everything.
Yeah, that's great until somebody steals your soul by taking a photograph of you.
Right.
And then you're without a soul.
Back in the village, they used to do that all the time. It was really easy because nobody had any walls.
Yep. The photographer would come in and ask you to pose in front of the spot on the ground that represented the elder's hut.
Right.
It was the fanciest lack of building.
There was already, you know, there was always like 8 or 9 people having sex in front of it, though.
Yeah, well, that's why the photographer wanted people to stand there.
Right. Just stand knee-deep in people fucking.
Early porn had to be accidental. If you did it on purpose, you'd get in trouble. The photographer's guild would hang you.
And it had to be educational.
Like, you had to take a picture of a statesman with somebody having sex in the background of the photo.
Right. Or you could just, you know, this is what it looks like when you go to a nudist colony. This is an anthropological document that I'm creating here.
This is what it looks like when you watch the neighbor's daughter taking a shower.
Right, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Do you have a cat meowing?
Yep, it's the cat's meow.
Is he barfing?
He took off his pajamas, though, so it's not also the cat's pajamas.
Hmm.
So, the Superman film got a director, I see here.
Oh, is there a new Superman film?
Gonna be, yeah. And it's gonna be fucking Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, Watchmen 300?
Yep. That, if he is capable of reining in his ridiculous bullshit, which, you know, maybe he is, and just hasn't had any need to, because he was making the 300 and Watchmen.
Did you not feel that Watchmen was good?
I thought it was like a B-, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I feel like, you know,
kind of
the best you can hope for with a property that you care about, right?
Some bad casting, but what bothered me more about Watchmen was just the, like...
The sex scene? I know, man, that bothered me too.
Yeah, I hate naked women. The ridiculously loud sound effects and the ramping up of the violence to a ridiculous...
Like the ridiculously loud dude ass-thrusting sound effects in that sex scene that was ridiculous.
Yeah, you're so wrong about that, but that's okay.
I know.
Just like the scene where they electrocute the guy to death because they're using an arc welder to get into Rorschach's cell became they cut the guy's arms off with an angle grinder. And that was just kind of ridiculous. Like, why does that have to be that way? Is it supposed to be like a postmodern comment on how violent movies are, or are you just kind of dumb? So I don't know.
Why can't cutting a dude's arms off just be awesome?
But it wasn't awesome. It was lame.
I mean, it sounds awesome. I don't really remember it, but I bet I thought it was awesome.
Right.
Is Radio KOL hurting for money?
Well, they're doing some kind of fundraiser, so maybe they're... I don't know if they're hurting, but they could probably...
I'm getting donation offers that people are asking us if we want to match, and I was curious what was making that happen.
Did you say I've got to match your face in my ass?
No. I don't remember which person this is. I probably met them.
It's Lady Arsenic. She's
yes.
Australian. You probably have not met her.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. I've met a handful of Australian ladies.
And you've
there was an Australian lady who told me that I should listen to the Kings of Leon. There was an Australian lady who made little animal sculptures out of the wax from tea lights.
Hmm. The leftover wax?
No, she, I think, pulled the wicks out and then just softened the wax in her hands. She just basically wasted tea lights.
Hmm.
But they were the business's tea lights. It was at a cigar lounge that was lit by candles. And I think she would just take the spare tea lights, soften the wax in her hands, and make little animals out of it. In the bathroom, there was an owl wearing a cape made out of toilet paper.
Aw.
Super Turd Owl is what I called him.
Which is why you were fired from your job naming cute little animals.
It's true.
That was a sweet gig, man. You shouldn't have messed that up.
I know, I shouldn't have fucked that up. I really looked a gift horse in the mouth and named him Fart Burglar. Fuck, there was something I was gonna talk about on the radio, and I don't remember what it was. I listened to a Freeze Pop CD. I listened to part of a Freeze Pop CD on the way home. Have you listened to any Freeze Pop CDs?
I haven't.
It's weird. It is, I can definitely see why. Like, I could not necessarily, based on the concert at KOLCon, understand why someone would like them, because the sound was, despite the fact that a lot of people have disagreed with me, most of the people that I've talked to have said, yeah, the sound was just ass while they were playing.
Huh.
It was just sort of, like, drowned out by, you know, like, whatever, like, electronic stuff that they were doing, you know. The sounds that you heard were definitely sounds that they were making, but, like, you couldn't understand the lyrics at all. And I feel like on the CD, the lyrics are totally comprehensible. I don't know if I believe that they're all that good. It kind of sounds like it should be, like, a weird novelty act. It's, like, halfway between... I don't know how to characterize this exactly. So I was talking to Front a lot a while back about a cappella bands and how, what is the matter with a cappella bands in general, right? Like, I like an a cappella band doing a cover of a song that's already good, but I don't think I've ever heard a single original song from an a cappella band that wasn't just retarded.
What about Zombie Jamboree? Zombie Jamboree's great.
Oh. Yeah, okay, that's good. Was that originally by an a cappella band?
I think so.
Who is that?
I don't know, the MP3 I
listened to that, and I think of it as something from, like, the 60s. So everything was better in the 60s, that notwithstanding.
Oh, it was originally a Harry Belafonte tune, so yeah, never mind.
Okay. It wasn't a cappella to begin with.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Any good acapella, like Cow and Bee's rendition of Breakfast at Tiffany's. Fantastic song.
Yep.
Probably the radio listeners haven't heard that in a while.
Maybe I should take your obvious hint there.
Play that during the break. No, I wasn't actually implying that you should. I forgot about music because you're in charge. I like to just pretend that I have no control over what's going on. I actually like to pretend that I'm not going to be forced to listen to any Meatloaf during the break. Which, now that I've said that, I'm sure I will be.
I think it's funny that the only artist you know of that I like and you don't is Meatloaf. It's like 16 years.
I'm sure there are others. Meatloaf is just a funny one. Because who listens to Meatloaf? Oh yeah, you.
And
plus,
several...
We were just talking about Meatloaf earlier in the show. That was a callback.
Right, okay. Sure.
So I just got to thinking, why is that about a cappella bands, right? And it, like, the fact that you can sing doesn't mean that you can write songs, right? Pretty obviously.
True.
The fact that you can play instruments doesn't mean that you can write songs. There were, like, the music at Oktoberfest, this year, for whatever reason, the beer tent was, like, 30 feet closer to the stage, and so the music was just deafening the entire time, and it was just these cover bands. You know, it's like the kind of band that would play at a city event, you know?
Right.
There's this one band that's been playing there for 20 years. This was their 20th Oktoberfest, and I don't understand why. I mean, they're a competent cover band. So I guess you'd see a competent cover band, and you think, oh, this band is good.
Right.
You know? Because any band, anybody that can play their instruments can cover a good song and have it be good. But, yeah. Why are a cappella bands, like, same thing with an Irish ensemble, you know? I don't know about your buddy's band, right? Maybe some of their original songs weren't terrible. Maybe they wrote some songs that weren't stupid, right? But whenever you go, there's anytime you go to an Irish pub, there is one night a week where no matter where you are in the world, the exact same band is there. There's always like a fat guy with a beard. There's a couple other fat guys with beards. There's, like, a skinny girl who is, like, kind of cute but has fucked up teeth. And then, like, there's a few other random people who will come in and out of this tableau.
Right.
But in general, you know, one guy has a lute and one guy has a fiddle. They play some Irish, but it's the same. But we went to Germany, and the exact same fucking band was playing in the Irish pub that we went to in like Munich, or whatever. Same band. I don't know how this happens. Like, maybe there's a genetic predisposition to want to be in a sort of a casual Irish pub band. They're always just sitting around a table eating like onion rings, and playing Irish music. Right? They're never, like, on stage. You get the sense that, you know, maybe the bar owner doesn't even want them to be there.
Our guys are
two songs that they obviously wrote. They're songs that are ridiculous. It's like filk.
Right.
It's like, oh, this is our Irish ballad about Star Trek. Nobody wants to hear your Irish ballad about Star Trek. Why would you even write that?
That's funny.
Is it? Does anyone want to hear that? Do you want to hear that? Do you want to hear an Irish ballad about Star Trek?
Sure.
Does your friend's band do shit like that?
No.
I mean, because it's like, I feel like what they're going for is they're like, oh, check us out. It's contrast, because this is ancient music and modern content, right? And it's like, funny, you know? But that's the thing, I guess that's the definition of a novelty act. Right? I mean, a song that is only good as, like, a concept piece.
Sure.
Not something that you would want to listen to over and over again. But I guess, having grown up with Weird Al, who I feel like is a genuinely talented musician, who does some stuff like that, to be fair, but is also, you know, he's good at writing songs. He's good at what he does, right? I mean, is Weird Al a novelty act? Is he, like, the quintessential novelty act?
Yeah.
But you see what I mean, though, right? About there being like a quality gradation, whereas the you know, Dynamite Hack, who achieved popularity with their like sort of novelty act cover of a rap song, like they're not on the same height pedestal as Weird Al.
Sure.
Right, and yeah, you know.
Well, like, I know what you mean. Like
filk, man. What the fuck?
I find that shit funny.
But would you go?
I guess
you would.
I would think
maybe it's like a drama club thing. Like it's just the different kind of nerd.
I think it would be weird to be like in an Irish pub watching an Irish band and have them stop playing traditional Irish music or even, you know, a couple of covers of something more current and have them launch into like a sci-fi parody of an Irish song. Yeah, that would be super weird.
But they always do that.
The guys that we go see never do.
Okay, that's good.
The closest
then
they get...
That means they're one of the good ones.
Yeah, they recently performed the first original song that one of their members had written, and it was just indistinguishable from the rest of the stuff they play.
Okay, that's good.
It was about whiskey and drinking it. I mean, they do a cover... They do the Gord's cover of Gin and Juice. The, like, countrified cover of Gin and Juice.
Wow, so it's like a second-order cover.
Right. So they cover that cover.
So it's like a comforter.
Yeah, it's a duvet, really. People dig it, so...
Yeah. Is a duvet like a divan?
I don't know, is it like the divinals?
Always goes back to touching yourself with you.
I think we firmly established that. Firmly.
Isn't there some crossdresser named Divine?
Yeah, it was in John Waters movies.
Is John Waters the creep?
I don't know.
I mean, is he like a creepy kind of skeletal-looking dude?
Yeah, with a little pencil-thin mustache.
Yeah, boy, is that guy creepy.
That's the dude. I think I've only ever seen one of his movies, and it was one of the ones that he made for... Like, after he made the Gonzo movies about people eating shit live on camera, he made a couple of, like... And here are a couple of... like 60s pastiche movies for all y'all. So I've only ever seen the Tame movies.
A pastiche is like one of those little candies.
No, it's like it's meat with like a like dough around the outside.
The only time I've never seen a John Waters movie, I've only seen John Waters interviewed. He reminds me of like R. Crumb.
Yeah.
right? Where it's like, you know, I would not be so bad. So, like, Arkrum can draw stuff really well, right? But I feel like, you know, he's just kind of a creep. That's sort of like why, you know, that's his particular demon. Everybody who's creative's got demons, right? Their demon is being a creep.
You know, the only... Okay, I've seen two Arkrum drawings in my life. One of them is the guy with the keep-on-trucking guy that everybody's seen. The other was a guy... was like a comic strip that ended with a guy turning a girl upside down so he could squat on top of her and shit in her butt. And
there was a lot of stuff like that. There were a lot of very hairy women in Arkrum's artwork, which I feel like you would really love.
I'm a huge fan.
Did you never see the movie about Arkrum?
No.
It's worth seeing.
Would you say that, is he just a creep, or does he have some kind of, like, is he borderline Asperger's?
I don't know. I don't really know enough about him. I mean, he's definitely got some weird sexual predilections, right? Like, I mean, there's just a lot of, you know, like, one of the things in the movie was the guy talking about how he was the only, Arkrum is the only artist I know who admits to regularly masturbating to his own work.
Wow.
He said, but then again, I mean, how many other artists' work really have masturbatory potential? I guess Picasso, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't, yeah. So, yeah. We were having this discussion the other day about creepy guys. The pretentious artist's wife was talking about this dude who works at the school where she is and is really creepy. And I'm like, well, like, what do you mean? And she told me a couple stories that didn't sound creepy to me at all, but sounded like the kind of thing where it's like, well, that was creepy because you already think this guy's creepy, you know? And so, like, the kind of thing that a person that you didn't think was creepy could get away with, this guy can't really get away with. And it's, like, not precisely his fault for not picking up on those signals. And like, what do you do if you're a creepy guy is where the conversation went. Because there's really nothing you can do if you're a creepy guy. Have you ever known anybody who was creepy and then they got less creepy?
There are
just dudes that like unnerve women, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that there is anything that those dudes can really do.
I think it's, but the reason though is just the failure to realize that that's what they're doing. And I think that it could be taught if somebody would say, look, dude, you're giving off this vibe that is really freaking out the ladies. Maybe you should turn it down a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, you'd think that that would happen and you'd think that it would work. I mean, I feel like the problem in general is, like, you can't, you know, if women don't respond to you well, you're going to try and emulate the guys who you see women responding well to, but then when you do that, it makes you even creepier.
Right, because they're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you're doing exactly the same thing. It's just not working for you because they think of you as a creep. Man, I don't know. But John Waters, I saw interviewed in some... I watched some documentary on Netflix streaming about, like, nudity in movies, sexual content in movies, and the rating system, like, that this film is not yet rated.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to see that.
It's a pretty good documentary, actually. Although it has a little bit of that Morgan Spurlock bullshit where it's like, we spied on people and called them at home to prove a point. And it's like, ah, man, don't do that. Do you want to take a little break? I'm running low on beverage.
All right. We'll be back in, 15, 16 minutes. And we're back.
Oh, cool. I wasn't expecting it so soon, but it was as long as you said it was going to be.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. They looked up to see, let's see how many more dozen songs I have until we should come back. Like, oh, that would be now. No.
One of these days, we're just going to do a show where we don't talk at all.
I used to do a show like that every Tuesday.
Do you not do that anymore?
No, for a while. Just for a bit. Until, the house is painted, until Ollie's in college, you know. So I have some free time. So it's not, I used to think that I could have the radio show and be working on Kingdom stuff during the radio show, but that just never works.
Yeah, Do you find that you can't concentrate enough to write, or do you...
Yeah, it seems like no matter how many songs I put in, I'm always
the radio monitoring. Lends itself to beating off to things on, I don't know, RedTube.
RedTube?
Yeah, RedTube is one of those porn sites.
Oh, I wouldn't know about that. I don't watch pornography.
You don't look at porn on the internet?
I listen to it.
Huh.
Just erotic podcasts. Podcasting.
Podcasts,
yeah.
Of people having sex. Oh, I see. Eccentric Ohm writes that in the last show, I exclamation point you was my clever way of signing I club you within the character limit. I see. So the exclamation point is like a club, and the point part of the exclamation point is like a tiny addle-addle being used to throw the club.
It could be a tiny Asian hand gripping the club.
Oh, yeah. It's white.
There's one thing that... I was thinking of the actual point. The dot.
Oh. Yeah. Why would it be Asian? Because the club is levitating over the hand? You assume that she has magic Asian powers?
Well, I know that I club you as a tiny Asian girl.
Right.
So it... I assume
so
that
you
she
assume
gonna...
that she can magically levitate clubs above her hands like all Asians can.
Well, I assume that the white space was there so that you could tell that there was a hand there.
Oh. Do you think that Asians will ever get so good at math that they can manipulate the very nature of reality with their minds?
I figure they already have.
Hmm. Do you think that Asians will ever be so bad at driving that they all get killed in one giant car crash?
Possibly. First, we have to get them all into one giant car, though.
Well, no, it would just be an every car pileup.
Oh, I see.
Every Asian car pileup.
There was a huge car crash in China, a month ago or so, that people were stuck in and backed up traffic for days. I don't know.
Yeah, that's... I don't even know.
And it was probably
the
one white guy who was driving his car that caused it. And every single Chinese person who saw it went, oh, great.
Yeah. No wonder. Lego Morpho wrote into the Twitter and said, what's the deal with the 2011 calendars?
The deal is that I need to send Zelania a list of the names and addresses of the calendar winners.
Oh, is that a person who won and is asking where the fuck his reward is?
Right, it is. So
the 2011 calendars are done. I got one in my hand.
Yeah, I think I've failed to grab one every time that I've been in the proximity of them. I don't know. Maybe the missus has one somewhere. But, that's just entirely that they're ready for Comic-Con.
Wait, why would Fifor's wife having one help you?
The missus?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
The missus is Fifor's wife. That's what he calls her.
Oh, I see. You must be really confused when other people call each other Grandma and Grandpa.
I've never had that happen. But it would be confusing.
Be like, wait a minute, you're not my grandpa.
Naked and Famous says, playing in Bad Moon with a black cat makes me want to punch my real cat more than I already do. Is this normal? I don't think it's normal to want to punch your real cat.
Does it make you want to punch the cat more than you already want to punch it, or does it make you want to punch it more than you're already punching it? Because if so, just, dude, stop punching your cat.
There's something in my room here that's beeping a lot.
Hmm.
That's gonna get really obnoxious. It's gonna drive me nuts, even if people can't hear it. Do you mind vamping or playing a song while I try and track down this noise?
Sure. Maybe it's a metal detector. Maybe it's a douchebag detector. Are you in a submarine?
I might be in a submarine.
They might be in a submarine. Could play another quality tune from They Might Be Giants' seminal album, Lincoln.
Are you sure? Is it? It didn't get any louder when I turned you up, so I'm pretty sure the sound is not you going beep beep, beep beep. But every time I move around, it seems like it's coming from the speakers of the computer.
Huh. It never occurred to me until this moment that Seminole has its root in semen.
Does it?
Yeah. Like a seminal work is something that strongly influences later developments. Or having to do with semen.
Alright, the beeping is coming from inside my drawer that I pulled this calendar out of.
The beeping is coming from inside the drawer! Did somebody plant one of those ThinkGeek Annoyotrons in your office?
Well, I just made it stop cool. by just randomly moving some shit around.
I'm gonna go ahead and do a little happy dance for technical difficulties I didn't cause.
Cool. What the hell? There's not even anything in here that's supposed to beep. It beeped again when I was touching some stuff. sorry about that. Jesus.
Technical difficulties.
What is in my drawer that beeps?
That's a terrible riddle.
Okay, I'll give you three guesses. it's weird. It's a transistor radio that you lost 30 years ago and have been trying to get back ever since.
Hmm.
Tune to a beep channel.
I love
That's the thing,
the
right? A transistor
channel.
Radio, you can tune it to a channel where it just beeps.
Yeah. I love the beep channel. Didn't Wilco use some transcripts of the beep channel when they were making one of their albums?
Ha! You know what it was? Something landed on my breathalyzer.
Huh. Was that something booze?
I don't know. I could, let me see what my blood alcohol content is, because this is good radio. I think it takes too long to tell me what it is. It's doing a lot of beeping.
Hmm.
Ready, warn, bat low. Ready? Now it's doing some more beeping.
Ready, warn, bat low. Ready, warn,
bat low. Man, this thing is broken.
I think I'm gonna, every time I have to start a race or something, I'm gonna say, ready, warn, bat low.
That'd ready, awesome. Warn, bat low. Oh, I see, because of what I just said.
Yes.
Ready, warn, bat low. Ah, Christ. Let's answer some questions. This is fucking terrible.
Yeah, stop trying to talk.
Okay. Is Varka wrote into the forum thread, when designing new content, quests, items, familiars, etc., what aspect is most likely to get you to scrap or postpone the idea? By aspect, I mean stuff like code difficulties, narrative or writing difficulties, interaction with other items or effects or whatnot, difficulties, and so on. The thing that usually gets stuff shelved in the long term is like not being excited about it enough to fill in the gaps that aren't fun and not having like a deadline, right? So like Scully and I every year at con will hang out in a swimming pool and we'll figure out what we're going to do for Crimbo and be like, yeah, this is sweet. We're totally going to do this. We're totally going to do this thing and we've got this idea and this is how it's going to work. And this is how the like overarching, you know, and I think about like, all right, yeah, these are the kinds of rewards I'm going to put in, and these are the, you know, this is the mechanics that I'm going to use, and he thinks of like, this is what the story is, and this is how it's going to play out. And then we remember, oh right, there's a bunch of fucking work that has to be done to actually flesh everything out, and like, all right, yeah, let's have this zone with five monsters in it. And saying that is a totally different thing than coming up with five monsters and then writing, you know, all of the text for all of them. And it's like, none of those things takes a long time, but they sometimes have to be put off so that they're any good.
One of the things I think that adds some time into just about everything is the idea that the design manifesto that we have, that every monster needs to have an interesting drop.
Yeah.
So that can, like, 'cause coming up with five monsters and five and all their hit and miss text and stuff is pretty easy for me. But then it's like, oh yeah, we don't want to just have these guys not drop anything. That would be kind of lame. So then, you know, let's come up with an entire class of consumables that they drop. And, well, what effects should they have? Well, they should grant this effect, and, you know, it kind of spirals out from there. I think some of the Hades content is stalled in that particular limbo right now.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for you, at least, that tends to be something that I can swoop in and be like, I'll do this and this and this. I mean, it's we're more reluctant than we used to be to use any, like, filler content. You know, it used to be, like, years ago, it was just like, oh, we'll just give him some food. And then I'll, like, how many adventures does this food give? Oh, like, five. Yeah, five. 5 to 7. Yeah, I'll type those numbers in here. Then I'm done.
And being aware that people are, it's really important to people what the food is and what quality it is these days. And being aware that food is either the best food you can have or worthless.
Yeah, I mean, that's not so true anymore. Like, I think we managed to hit kind of a sweet spot with this organ grinder familiar because, like, just because of the vagaries of the current hardcore game, like, the stuff that you tend to eat leaves you with 2 fullness worth of just bullshit that you have to eat. And so replacing that with some good bullshit was useful to people, right?
Right.
So, I don't know, every once in a while we get lucky. But, I mean, it's... So, like, the underwater stuff is a good example of a project that is halted. Kind of halted because we haven't spent, you know, it just hasn't been worked on in a while. And so none of those monsters have... So there's a bunch of zones already coded and written. There's a bunch of monsters that are already written up. None of them have drops, which is a thing that, you know, we're just going to have to kind of brainstorm. But that's not particularly hard. There are, like, sort of 2 parallel paths that you're forging through this content, and one of the paths I just don't have a particularly satisfying idea for how it's going to work, and so I haven't been able to, like, draw the buckets that we need to put content into. Like, the notion of, like, figuring out what shape something is going to be so that we can start working on it is the hard thing in a lot of these cases. It's, you know, actually writing stuff, you know, I've gone on record several times as saying that I don't believe that writing item descriptions is work. I mean, it's work when Scully does it, right? But I don't when I think about work and the work that I'm, like, sort of mad at myself for not doing enough of, it's not that kind of thing. It's not drawing the pictures. It's not, you know, coming up with the monsters or whatever. It is, like, figuring out in a broader sense how stuff is going to work. And, you know, how it's going to fit together. And so it's like basically there's you know, a handful of things that I just need to decide. And I've got some ideas on how this underwater stuff should go, but I also have this feeling that if I moved forward on what I'm thinking of now, it wouldn't be very good. And so I need to think of something better. And it's an easy excuse to say, well, you know, I just need to keep working on other stuff and taking showers until I come up with an idea for how that's going to work, because it doesn't really, eventually stuff gets in such a mental back burner that you don't think about it at all, you know?
Yeah.
Deadlines help, you know? We never have any trouble with Crimbo. I mean, it's always a mad scramble at the end to get everything ready to go, but we're never like, you know, we're always like, you know, maybe we're 10 minutes late. We're never like a week late for Crimbo, because that's, right. You know, it's not acceptable. It's like real deadlines are a real thing. And I was hoping that, you know, I don't know. I wasn't hoping that Uncle P's would turn into that. What I was hoping was that in January I would do a year's worth of Uncle P's maps, and then those would be there, and that just totally failed to happen because the scope on them crept out.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they had been what I wanted them to be originally, probably nobody would have cared about them. So we're just kind of hoist by our own petard in that way.
Our desire to, and our capacity for being awesome is our biggest downfall.
It is, yeah.
It's like the answer you're always supposed to give when somebody asks in a job interview what your weakness is. Like, you know, sometimes
I'm a bit of a perfectionist, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes my ambition and my drive to succeed makes me work too hard.
See, I always answered that with, I find it really hard to work on something that I don't believe in. You know, which is true, and it's, I feel like, something that somebody hiring me would probably want to know, but maybe it's why nobody ever hired me. Although, I interviewed for so few jobs that I didn't get that maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. Let's see.
You have marketable skills.
Yeah. Happy birthday, King Stupid. Happy birthday, King Stupid. He says, also, King still on schedule Stupid. For a clan dungeon either right before or during Crimbo? I told a clanmate that was what you said on a podcast, and he said, you better be right or you'll be sorry. And then he made a fist and shook it at me. I'm pretty sure you're going to get punched, King Stupid.
If not by that guy, then by somebody.
Well, you'll be happy to know that what I'm feeling like now is that... So when Hobopolis started getting work done, it was because I was like, you know... This clan dungeon idea that I've been ruminating on for a long time doesn't seem to go anywhere. Let's work on something else that's easier and simpler and more exciting. And then that got cranked out in, you know, a reasonable hurry. I mean, it still took some months. Now I've done the same thing. The one that we've been thinking about for a while. I was like, you know, I bet I could sit down and do a bunch of work on a new one that we've also been thinking about for a long time in a different context. And, So yeah, I was going to talk to people about that at the next staff meeting. Everybody will be super happy. Because nobody likes anything more than giant piles of projects that are never going to get finished.
Mm-hmm.
But no, a clan dungeon before or during Crimbo is a little... Man, if we figured out a way to do a clan dungeon, a small clan dungeon, as part of Crimbo, like a temporary clan dungeon...
I will kill you.
Yeah, no, I figured you would. But it wouldn't have to be that big.
It wouldn't have to be, but it would be.
No. No.
When would we ever...
Do a clan dungeon that was small?
Yeah. You know, what's going to happen, I will tell you that the rest of the year is going to go like this. Holy shit, it's Halloween. We should probably finish those outfits. Holy shit, it's Columbus. And you coming to visit, which still just, you know... gives me smiles. Holy shit, it's time for Crimbo. Holy shit, it's New Year's.
Yeah.
That is the rest of our year, and it's already begun.
No. This is the super productive part of the year. Like, post-con season, this is when we get shit done. We get shit done leading up to June, and we get shit done leading up to December.
That's true.
That's at least what I'm saying is true. The tutorial stuff has taken up all of my time. It's close. I think that I might try and roll that tomorrow. Zaru fan, speaking of which, says tomorrow-ish content push that you accidentally rolled like a week or two ago that has something to do with spaghetti spear. That was for the tutorial. So that's already gone through like a couple of iterations, a couple of rounds of like feedback and changes, and hot stuff I think is in the process of making the animations that I need for him to make. And last I saw, he had posted in a thing about them, and no, he just posted something irrelevant in that thread. Never mind. C.D. Moyer says in dev, man, I can't imagine doing a Crimbo-only clan dungeon. We should make it so C.D. Moyer can imagine that.
It's easy if you try, C.D. Moyer.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, a clan dungeon, at this point, like something that is nothing but just technically a clan dungeon, like if I wanted to make a clan dungeon that was just you'd click on a thing, unlock it, you go down there, there's a zone that you click, and there's a boss that only one guy can fight, and he has, you know, whatever, he has no drops. I could do that in, like, 15 minutes, probably.
Hmm.
Right? Because it's not technically that hard to make something that is technically a clan dungeon. Yep. C.D. Moyer just says he can't imagine doing it unless it somehow stuck around. Pish posh. Everybody likes content that they don't get to play. Everybody.
We should just release the content to the wiki.
Oh, yeah. So that'd be a lot easier, because then, like, you could just do the whole thing.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter at all if nobody got to play it.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, man! You'd design some items, and everybody would be like, man, where do I get this totally unbalanced, sweet dildo sword that is here in the wiki. Oh, that was limited time only content. You can't get it anymore. Oh, I'm sad. Because that's what all your content would be, right, is dildo swords. Exactly. It's like a dildo with one of those hand guards for parrying in case somebody tries to... Sometimes people will just use a shorter dildo as right. a parrying dildo.
Are you saying that you might encounter someone hiding in the vagina you're trying to stick the dildo into, and that person would have a sword?
No. No, I'm saying that you would bring a dildo to a sword fight.
I see.
I mean, if you went to a cockfight, you're clearly not equipped, so you'd have to bring a dildo with you. You brought a vagina to a cockfight? You could say of somebody who showed up at your cockfight with, say, a girlfriend that you didn't like, didn't anybody ever tell you not to bring a cunt to a cockfight?
That would be pretty funny.
It would be funny. I bet at least one person in that exchange would think it was funny, and it would probably be you if you were saying it.
Right.
Zarufan also wrote, was the changing of moon sign / milk / ode and the way cooking and cocktail crafting works the full consumable revamp, or are you going to nerf consumable yields also? The way things went seemed a little anticlimactic compared to how everybody talked about the hypothesized nerfing, so I wondered if wondering if that was it. So now you're describing a nerf that wasn't as intense as we led you to believe it was going to be as anticlimactic. There are going to be...
I'm sorry.
I don't think you mean anticlimactic in a bad way. That, I'm still going to... Like, my plan was to still do some things like... It bugs me a little bit that, like, the stir fries and tofus are all... It's tofus. The stir fries and that are, like, all different sizes and shit. I wanted to kind of standardize those and maybe reduce the turn yield of some dropped food to make it less good compared to crafted food. You know, just things like the cup of primitive beer, I feel like, is just way, way too good for as common as it is. You know? So, I like, some way, like, it's just, like, there are so many things that are in the mall that are really cheap compared to the number of turns that you get for them, and, like, that, to me, is an indicator that we missed the mark on the rarity of them. Mm-hmm. And those, you know, a lot of the stuff in the level 11 and 12 quests, I really did just make up numbers on it, and stuff like that, if the ranges are big, especially, doesn't necessarily get caught in testing, because how many of those do people end up drinking, you know, and, like, it's, you know, there are a few things that I feel like might get a little bit of scissors taken to them, but nothing fundamental. It was never going to be anything super fundamental, because I don't think that I would really be able to get away with it. Dracofly wrote, sorry if you noticed this question when I sent it to Radio Bugbear, but can we have the option to sort equipment first by whether we can equip it or not, and then alphabetically? If you pull everything or went casual, you have 700 things you can equip, and it's hard to peruse what you can in a way that... Wait. It's hard to peruse what you can in a way that you can actually relocate things, i.e. by name. Yeah. That is not a bad idea, actually. Something that playing Twilight Heroes is doing for me is making me kind of understand what frustrations a casual player would end up with. Like, the casual ascender, which is a thing that I did not believe until recently existed. But, yeah. That's not a bad idea. I'm gonna make a note of that. I'm gonna tell somebody else to make a note of that. Somebody make a note of that! My cat doesn't appear to be jumping to the task of making a note of that. Mr. Skullhead.
I will.
Betrayer says, please let older players at the very least opt into the new Toot quest. Like, you know, go to the Toot, hit a button, give it a try. I don't think that I'm going to do it. It is kind of a logistical nightmare the way that it is. And you have my permission to create a new account and go through the tutorial. Like, it's fine. I don't know. Having seen it, people are tending to agree with me on the, I don't think it makes sense to let existing accounts go through this.
Right.
And yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's a mess. I wish it was better. Mr. E says, will the Dungeoneers Association have quests a la the Bounty Hunter Hunter or a la peanut butter sandwiches? That's funny, because I was, when I was delivering beers to the people up front selling the beers yesterday, I was frequently counting them, a la Count Von Count. I love it when I accidentally get private messages from people because they fuck up a macro. I very frequently will get private messages from random people that just say in games because of some chatbot functionality for rolling dice that if you accidentally put a 1 in the wrong place, it just sends a private message to me. Oh, you know what it is? If you do message chatbot 1d6 in games, then chatbot will roll a 1d6 in games publicly. But if you just do message 1d6 in games, it will send a message to me reading in games because it collapses that, it interprets that 1d6 as an integer, huh. And that it resolves to 1. That's what it is. This was already put down. Schlurp says, fess up, is the flower schnapps autocell bug the intentional result of those how to get more people to PvP discussions from a while back? And a blister guy replies, it's not a bug, and I'm pretty sure the consumables revamp was done and dusted without it ever being considered. That is exactly true. The Huzzahifier says, would you consider implementing a clan dungeon trade feature to eliminate the inconvenient parts of buying clan dungeon loot? Maybe someone with loot distribution privileges sets up a trade where they offer a piece of loot and the buyer puts in meter items, after which it behaves like a normal trade. I don't think so, because the whole point is that you have to have contributed to the run to get any of the rewards from it. And I know that you guys consider clearing the tutorial and killing at least one thing to just be an inconvenience that's stopping you from buying the shit that you want to buy, but you're not supposed to be able to buy it. You're supposed to have to play the game in order to get the rewards for playing that piece of the game. You know? Like, if I could make it stricter without fucking people over, I would, but I can't. Because, like, somebody who, you know, somebody who was low level and only managed to kill a handful of hobos because they were having a hard time getting, you know, they didn't have good enough gear to kill a lot of hobos, not being able to get a reward because they didn't kill, you know, 100 hobos, if that was what the threshold was, that would be kind of bullshit. Right? Having to go through the sewer is meant to be a hardship for somebody in terms of, like, actually participating in it, right? You know, it is meant to be a thing that you have to accomplish.
It is a cost of entry, sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the sewer was weird. Like, the sewer was a mechanism that I came up with as a totally, like, in all of the time that we had spent talking about how clan dungeons were going to work, we never came up with anything like that to try and figure out, like, how are we gauging who actually participates? How are we going to make this take more turns the more people who are involved in it? Because we felt like that was more interesting for the speed leaderboard thing. And that was just, like, a thing that fell out of it. It's not always going to be able to work like that, because it kind of made sense narratively to do it the way that we did it, you know, for each person to have to do something. We'd also talked about, like, some lockout mechanisms, like you had to do one clan dungeon to get some gear that you had to have on to get into the next one and stuff like that. But since there are only two clan dungeons, man, even the second one is like a year old at this point. Yeah. Anyway, the Lone Goldfish says, just wanted to say that the newish familiar naming page is the bee's knees. Yes, the knees of every single bee, even the ones that the guy in Made of Bees is made of. That is really old.
Yeah.
That was something that Xenophobe did. Meaty Donut says, how often do you come up with an awesome class-specific piece of equipment or skill or mechanic or whatever and don't introduce it because you can't come up with the equivalent stuff for the other classes? While I enjoy sets of class-specific stuff, Chintzy, Nemesis gear, I also like the Pasta Ghosts and Infernal Seals. With those updates, a hole was not being filled for each class, and it was quite refreshing. That basically never happens. You know, I mean, I felt like Postomancers were kind of boring. And so I decided to add the, like, ghost thing a couple years ago because it seemed like it was cool. If, like, you know, if we made, like, the Sorcerers the sort of, like, dark magic class and the Postomancers the sort of, like, summoner magic class, like, that seemed to work out. You know, it was just a way of differentiating them. It was something that they could do apart from just, you know, casting spells that just did damage. Stone Rose writes, regarding old item of the month, when are you going to replicate the Heboulder's Yellow Ray ability, i.e. a way to easily garner outfits in hardcore? In 2 years? Do you ever consider improving old items of the month indirectly, like the Mayfly bait by adding new effects, or the Elvish sunglasses by adding new instruments, e.g. a one-handed guitar or something that allows you to play saxophone or trumpet or other solos? Every once in a while we'll accidentally make an old item of the month better, and, you know, something like the Mayfly bait, like, I feel like in general, whenever we add a new, like, kind of category of things to do, we think about the Mayfly bait. Like, Hot Stuff is pretty good at reminding me of that when I haven't thought about it, like, you know, let's make the Mayflies do something underwater. Let's make the Mayflies do something in this new clan dungeon, you know, and so we'll probably keep doing stuff like that. Gyarge says, there's a cute hippie working a short distance from me. Do I need to measure how filthy she is? If so, how? Well, date her, and then you will know how filthy she is, and also you get to have sex with a cute hippie. Mm. You get to have sex with a cute hippie.
Six what?
Six boners.
In a row?
Six boners at the same time, actually.
Huh. So you're saying this is a hippie girl who's probably into having sex with six guys at the same time?
No. One guy with six boners.
Right. You've been looking at Japanese porn again, haven't you? I've been listening to Japanese porn again.
I never stop. I never stop looking at Japanese porn. I just have all kinds of... I have a rotating wallpaper. You know, it's paper for my rotating wall. Did I tell you I installed a rotating wall? So I can just stand in the same place and be in whatever room I want in my house.
Did you also redesign your house so that it's shaped like a Trivial Pursuit piece? You know, a pie shape that...
Sorry, yeah, I was reading something and I didn't get to respond to your joke. Trivial Pursuit is a bad game. Okay. It's a bad game. A game that requires you... A trivia game. So, somebody could literally know everything except nothing about sports and just never be able to win a game of Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, I would argue that that's what happens with everybody I've ever played Trivial Pursuit with.
Yeah, if you play Trivial Pursuit with nerds, it always ends up just being everyone competing to just, like, roll the fucking number that it takes to get into the last spot and then answer a fucking sports question.
Yeah, yep.
It was funny, though, when I was playing a game of Trivial Pursuit where no matter what the sports question was, I would just answer Nolan Ryan. And eventually I landed on, and this was actually to win the game, I landed on one, and the guy just picked the card up out of the box, read it, and said, God damn it, and put it back in the box, and handed me the piece. And it was kind of funny. Because what are the odds? Like, it seems like it would take a really long time to get through it until the answer was finally Nolan Ryan. Maybe he just did that to be funny, because I never actually read the card, you know. He was a funny guy.
It seems like Trivial Pursuit used to be the sports category with sports and leisure. So it would be, like, sports questions and then questions about poker and questions about booze.
Huh.
My mom used to call it sports and liquor because it was two categories she couldn't answer. Like, what are two things that go into a margarita? And, like, at that point she had no idea. But... like, modern Trivial Pursuit, when they made it so that the rest of the questions you actually had a chance in hell of answering, it seems like the sports category just became sports. And, like, and mostly fucking Olympics questions, too. So not anything that I would even have a chance in hell of answering.
I haven't played any Star Wars. God damn it.
Star Wars.
I haven't played any Trivial Pursuit other than Star Wars Trivial Pursuit in a few years. And I only played that once. That's how Boozer Bear and I met, actually. Is being the only actual competitors in a game of Star Wars Trivial Pursuit at a party where everyone else that was attending the party was just getting bored with this game of Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. Yeah. I won by knowing what was wrong with R5-D4.
I just pictured
P4N1Q says, what kind of questions do you like to answer on the radio show? Questions like that one. What kinds do you hate? Questions like that one.
Yeah, jeez.
The champion says, tavern update or not, can we at least get a more reliable way to obtain beer lenses for the time being? No, the tavern update is... I'm suddenly experiencing this, like, philosophical crisis about what to do with the... We had redesigned the tavern cellar to something that I thought was a little more interesting for, like, Ascension replay, but I've almost become convinced that the thing to do with the tavern cellar is to just turn it back into a zone.
Huh.
As opposed to, like, some weird exploration minigame. Because it happens really early. And I'm mostly thinking about it from, like, a new player's perspective. Right? I mean, we figured out a thing that I thought was, like, kind of cool for clicking around and exploring space and, you know, using some of the, like, dungeon generator technology that we developed for Medioid. Mm. And I'm suddenly not, you know, it's like done except for art, too, basically. And I'm suddenly just not feeling it anymore. And I don't know, you know, do you think that the current tavern cellar, which is what, like the level 3 quest?
Right.
Do you think that it is more fun than just if it was just like a zone where you were at fighting monsters and getting non-combats and doing stuff? Because, I mean, when I look at that now, I think, man, that is kind of bullshit. I would hate this if I was playing it. Like, you know, it not giving you any indication of whether you've already been somewhere, you know?
Right.
And I just, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. Like I said, it's kind of a philosophical crisis. Because I can see both sides of it, right? Because this is something that you have to do every Ascension if you're an Ascender. But it's also something that you see on your first day playing. And so I feel like if it's crazy complicated, then I'm not sure where the value is in that. Like, I think that, you know, speed ascenders don't need the game to be more complicated, right?
Right.
This is already pretty fucking complicated. I am seriously considering just collapsing the tavern cellar back into... If I were to just collapse the tavern cellar back into a zone that you adventured in and did some stuff, then the tavern revamp could happen, like, you know, the day after I started working on it.
Hmm.
I'm not going to say tomorrow, because there's more shit going on tomorrow.
Are you thinking of it as something where you get a series of choice adventures where you have to make the right choices, or just, like...
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'd have to figure out what it was going to be. I mean, like, I'm becoming more and more convinced that you ought to be able to beat most of the core storyline quests just by adventuring in the place where you're supposed to be.
Oh.
So I've been considering like a change for the bat hole, for instance, where every, like, say 10 turns you would encounter like a big screaming bat who, when you killed it, it screamed and knocked down one of the walls.
Huh.
Right? So, like, the way that you beat the bat hole quest is either by figuring out the trick and getting in there quick and beating it, or just by playing the game.
So not taking away the sonar and abyss good, but...
No, not at all. But having that be a thing that you figure out on the second run through, or that somebody can tell you about if you want to get through it faster, but, like, maybe you don't have to, you know?
Hmm.
And I, you know, I don't know... I don't know, like, I feel like there are people who would feel like we're, you know, dumbing it down by doing stuff like that, but I'm wondering if there's really anybody who gets hurt by that. You know what I mean?
I still think the only needed fix there is to make it knock down the wall in the battle if you use the sonar in a combat.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, so we're pretty early in the game, you haven't got a whole lot of combat items, there's not... like, clutter in that list to confuse you. So, you're just rewarding that, like, oh, I can use this in combat, I wonder what it does, seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, like, nobody ever really gets stuck there, or at least they don't talk about getting stuck there.
Right.
But, I mean, do you think it would hurt anything to do both?
Probably not.
I mean, You know, because it wouldn't take much effort to do it.
I'm not opposed to what you're talking about now.
Yeah, and I mean, it would be long enough that nobody who was at all interested in getting through the game quickly would rely on it. You know, it doesn't really change anything.
Right.
Beowulf writes, the tavern clicking mixes up the normal play well, but being unable to mitigate the dark is odd. One newbie thought he needed a lamp. Yeah, which, I mean, I feel like that's a totally reasonable thing to believe in, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you do need a lamp, right? And maybe you can buy one in the market, or maybe if you stumble around in the dark long enough, you'll find a torch or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Or get eaten by
That's the question. Like, do you need, at that point in the game, your gameplay to be mixed up? Hmm. You know, do you get there on your first day? I don't know.
I did. Yeah. In my recent walkthrough, I believe I did. And I wasn't playing all of the turns that I could play.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I feel like that's... You know, I think it's weird if the third or fourth zone that you encounter is suddenly totally different than all the other zones that you've encountered. You know, I mean, it's certainly fine for there to be other things that you can do with turns, like the mining minigame or whatever, but, like, yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what the right direction to go.
It also, seeing something like that makes you think there's more to this game than just adventuring in a zone until you have what you need. Like, there are going to be different types of little mini-games in here, too. So that's an asset, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's definitely an argument for it on that side.
We're having, I think Kingdom of Loathing is having a bit of a midlife crisis.
Yeah. You know, this new tutorial feels like... And I hate to even say this because I sound like a douchebag, but it feels kind of 2.0, you know?
It's neat.
I like it. I am excited about this, you know? What I'm also trying to do is, like, do this in a way that lends itself more readily to, like, say, Facebook integration or, like, I'm not saying Facebook integration in a way that pisses anybody off, but I'm saying, like, you know... If we continue to clean things up the way that this tutorial has cleaned up the early game stuff, then there's no reason that we couldn't, you know, establish a KOL Facebook presence and then just have it KOL be a game that you could play in Facebook, right? So people keep telling us we ought to do that. But simplifying the interface, not for any of you, so don't worry about it. See, this is why I don't want old accounts to be able to do the new tutorial, is because it does some stuff that is going to piss you off, and it doesn't make any sense for it to piss you off, because if it had always been like that, which it will be for new people, then it would never have occurred to you to complain about it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, I hadn't thought of it as midlife crisis, but you're right. Subtle reinvention.
The cards that we're buying for, you know, to extend the metaphor, the little sports car that we're buying, the hot young thing we're dating, are all interesting changes to the game at a fundamental level that are going to make it better for people to play. So it's a good kind of crisis.
Nobody noticed the enchantments on the starting hats. Change that today. Yeah, nobody noticed. Yeah. Was there more stuff in that forum thread?
Maybe.
Why not just have, says Betrayer, why not just have, says Betrayer, the explored tavern basement squares change like they do in the Ruined City or the Mine? Mafia does this, and it's great. I'd rather not see it turn back into a boring grind. Oh, because regular zones are a boring grind. Thanks, Betrayer. You're so good at saying stuff.
It is interesting that when people talk about what they would like to see changed with the game, it tends to turn into all of these things about your game I hate. Your game that I have played for 5 years.
Yeah.
And that there's a tone that you want to avoid, folks, when you're talking about doing this stuff, which is, yeah, I put up with this shit because I'm hooked on your game and I like you guys, you're great guys, but, you know, no new player is going to put up with this shit, so you need to change this. That hackles me a little bit.
Even if it's right, you know?
Yeah, even if the point is a valid one, it's, you know, douche. You're right, but you're still a dick.
Azu asks if I saw the new announcement about the new Minecraft update that's coming out on Halloween, and like, fuck yeah, I did, and I'm excited about it.
Occasionally I will go to the Minecraft download page and just stare at it for a minute, and then go, you know, this would be a good way for me to, you know, relate to my fellow coworkers and hang out on our server, whatnot. But yeah,
the server went down over the weekend, and I made the executive decision to not bring it back up when I went into work today.
You are one of the few employers who actively provides ways for their employees to fuck around.
Yeah, and you know, I just wanted to not play it all day, so I was like, you know. It's also, there's some weird problem with the Minecraft server software where I can't run it in the background. If I'm running the server on our machine, I actually have to have a window open running it. And if that window gets closed, or if my computer gets shut down, or if nobody does anything for 8 hours and the shell session terminates or whatever, then it's just, the server goes down. Hmm. So it's technically a pain in the ass. I don't want to, like, pay our server guy to do it, because right. That makes zero sense. From a business perspective. So yeah, I don't know. It's fucking exciting, though. Minecraft is fucking exciting. It's... Right now, it's a fun toy, and it has the potential to be such an amazing game, the more gamey it gets, that I don't know, man. It speaks to me, and apparently millions of other people, too.
Right. I'll give it the Portal treatment. Like, a year from now, when everybody's already played it and already talked about all of the things that are interesting and fun, then I'll play it.
Okay.
And I'll be like, hey guys, the cake, it's a lie.
And we'll be like, oh, that's funny. You're adorable.
Like, that's so funny. People were talking about it a year ago.
You know, I don't know, man. Between, maybe October's not going to be as productive a month as I'm thinking, between Fallout New Vegas coming out on the 19th and that big Minecraft update on the 31st, man. I'll have to really quick shit out some bogus Thanksgiving-themed familiar so I can get back to Minecraft.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no. No.
Well, that's about time. Isn't it?
That's about it. Yeah, we could stop. We could also collaborate. We could also listen.
Could we listen to some porn?
We haven't dropped the streams yet, so...
Wow, weird.
Might as well quit while we're ahead. You know, I figured it out. While we're doing the show, because I have some kind of disorder that when I'm sitting in front of a computer I have to do stuff on it, there's like a list of sites that I visit. And, you know, like, checking feeds for updates and stuff while we're doing the show. And I think I always look at them in the same order. And the one that I hit around 45 minutes is kind of resource-intensive. Like, it has a couple of videos that load up and whatnot. So I think that looking at that site was causing the stream to drop.
Really?
So I thought, you know what? Every time the screen it goes down, I have this site up.
Huh. What is your rotation of those things?
I don't like it. Boing Boing.
Well, you don't have to tell me if you don't want.
FARC, the Onion AV Club, the Huffington Post, Joe Blow's Movie Emporium, Twitter, Facebook, Kingdom Forums.
Because when I'm just digging around, it's like /, Metafilter, Boing Boing, Kotaku.
Hmm.
Going to Kotaku should count as work for me, but, you know,
Gizmodo and Kotaku are kind of second tier Like, if I look at everything else and there's nothing else to look at, then I'll hit those up.
Yeah, Fark is, like, total bottom of the barrel for me.
Yeah.
Not quite as bottom of the barrel as, like, say, Fail Blog or, And I used to read The Superficial a lot, which was just, like, this sort of, like, really mean-spirited celebrity gossip blog.
I tend to look at Hotness because it's usually just...
You look at what?
H-A-W-T, Hotness, the women of WTF, just because it tends to be just pictures of women.
And something that I need to check and see if there's anything new is HOP, the H-A-W-P, the Hey Ash, What You Playin' videos,
because
those are funny.
Yeah, the one site that has, like, pop-ups and shit, I think is what was crashing my internet. So
which one is that? Is that when you go to RedTube?
Yeah.
To listen to some porn?
Yeah. No. I actually did not know that RedTube existed, and
YouPorn. There are a ton of, and this makes me even angrier about kids today. Like, it's just YouTube, but for porn.
Right.
Like, it's just streaming porn, and it doesn't cost anything, and it's just there anytime you got a fucking computer. Like, it's fucking kids, man.
I know.
How is anybody going to develop a work ethic?
How is anybody going to develop the ability to hold an erection when they're with an actual woman? Like, you know, the porn can kind of desensitize over time. I don't know, back in my day...
Have you found that to be true? No. Have you found that... I have never found that porn has been a desensitizing agent at all.
I'm just saying, back in my day, we had to go to the corner store where the guy sometimes wasn't watching his porn rack and grab a porno magazine, and I didn't want to steal it from the store, so I'd run to the back of the store and look at some pictures and, like, hold them in my mind as I rode my bicycle home so that I could then masturbate.
I never did that.
You damn kids. Everybody else would just steal the magazine, but...
I never stole it. I mean, I never... Like, once I knew people who were old enough to buy them, I would have them buy them for me.
Right. Everyone that I knew was Christian.
Until that, underwear section of the Sears catalog. Which the Sears catalog isn't even a thing anymore.
And my parents got the Victoria's Secret catalog and always hid it in the same place.
Dang!
Yeah. That
wow.
Bangs in.
You know, and like, so every time you masturbated as a kid, you got to think about, why does my mom have the Victoria's Secret catalog?
Never made that leap until years after I was done jacking off to the Victoria's Secret catalog. Wait a minute. That means that my mom's as big a whore as Zach's mom.
Hey.
No, not you. It's some other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, right. I heard he has a giant cell phone.
He does.
All right.
Metafilter. All right, good night, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you next week. I don't know. Jake just said goodbye instead of goodnight, so he may not be back next week, but I will.
Good night.